Time now for your comments. Some of you thought I should have challenged author Douglas Brinkley during the interview about the military service records of presidential candidates. Brinkley said that President Bush didn't show up for a year for National Guard duty in Alabama. The White House maintains the president did fulfill his service in Alabama and says documents support its case. It's a matter still being debated. In a recent interview, NPR's Juan Williams said no presidential candidate who lost both the Iowa caucuses and the New Hampshire primary has gone on to win the nomination. That's mostly true. In 1992, Bill Clinton became president without winning those early races, but that year the Iowa caucuses were not a contested event. Iowa native son Senator Tom Harkin ran for president in 92. The other candidates assumed he'd win his own state and stayed out of that race. A correction, a recent report about antidepressants and children stated that the 17-year-old daughter of a man named Tom Woodward had committed suicide after taking Prozac. In fact, the girl had been taking a different antidepressant, Zoloft. Concerning the report on President Bush at the Daytona 500, Stacy Wiggins Rideout of Tarboro, North Carolina writes, "I found it amusing that you chose to interview a man who was seated on an inflatable Budweiser couch. My NASCAR collectibles share shelf space with volumes of Gabriel Garcia Marquez and Plato. I'm tired of hearing about race fans talked about as if we all live in shacks and spend every Sunday getting drunk and hollering, woo." Speaking of which, when Washington Post music critic Tim Page said 1974 was the worst year in popular music, many of you offered long lists of songs that should have made Page's hit parade, such as Steely Dan's Ricky Don't Lose That Number and Taking Care of Business by Bachman Turner Overdrive. Taking care of business. Woo! Taking care of business. Listener William Lamb of Pontiac, Illinois, writes that Page made a mistake when he said disco hadn't been born in 1974. Billboard magazine began its disco chart in 1974. Tony Azupapo of Chicago was thrilled 1974 was such a terrible year in music. He writes, "If the mid-70s were not full of dreadful pap, the rebirth of real rock and roll via the punk explosion might not have taken place. So thanks to everyone in 1974 who released horrible records. You inspired lots of punk bands to form a few years later." Send your comments to morning@npr.org or call the listener comment line at 202-842-5044. Please say where you live and how to pronounce your name.